Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player plan.
John has some vacation time. We'll be hearing from old Joe Biden, who was in the news this weekend because he tested positive again for COVID-19, what they call a rebound case, as the medication that he used to combat the symptoms and the COVID wears off after you stop taking it. Some people do continue to test positive for a period of time. So he's back in isolation, but he's going to make a statement to the country coming up at 4:30. A CIA drone strike has killed the leader of Al-Qaeda. His name is Ayman Zawahiri. In Afghanistan. That seems to be the news that we're going to get from Biden coming up at around 4:30 here on the John and Ken Show. We're also keeping an eye on California's own Nancy Pelosi, who kicked off her Asia tour in Singapore. She's supposed to stop in Taiwan. The Chinese don't want that to happen. In fact, they were posting missile videos today to try to make the point that they do not want Pelosi, or for that matter, any American political leader visiting Taiwan to show any sort of support for that nation. Let's go to Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI. Another big story is this fire that really blew up over the weekend in the California-Oregon border. If you've not been following it, because it's been warm here, but it's been unbelievably hot in places that it normally isn't, although I think this happened last summer as well. Places in the state of Washington and the state of Oregon. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Ken. Yeah, Seattle, Portland, areas where they don't have a lot of air conditioning, and they've had a rough few days. But on the fire, conditions have been explosive on the fire line. The McKinney Fire, as it's called, 54,000, a little over that, 1,000 acres. The last mapping that they've done, that'll probably go up tonight. It's been running quickly, moving very quickly. The fires that we now see annually in California, where people are running, unfortunately, sometimes quicker than they can get out. Catherine was hiking in the area. She had to be rescued, and so she barely made it.
All of a sudden, we started smelling smoke, and we looked over, and there was a huge plume.
So good news, bad news. Good news being monsoon storms moved through the area last night, helping out a bit with a little more RH, relative humidity, in the air. A little bit of rain here and there, but not a lot. The bad news is it brought lightning as well, so they've been dealing with that today. And the sheriff in Siskiyou County saying that they have found two people dead in a burned-out car in their driveway. They believe they were trying to escape, but they didn't make it. We just a few minutes ago got an update that they believe that because there are skid marks that show they were trying to ram a locked gate to exit their driveway, and they didn't make it, and they were packed up and trying to get out of there. They have not identified them yet, but it is two adults who they believe lived in the home, and they could not get through that gate. But the sheriff telling us,
my understanding, it's still 0% containment. Last night, primarily, we spent trying to develop plans for today, which includes going out and trying to do an assessment of the damage the best we can. And we're also trying to look for any obvious deceased persons in the burn area.
And that's what they've been doing today. And we may get an update on anybody else who they found dead here in the next little while. But Ken, it's been moving so quickly. There are fears that more are dead. It's kind of what we saw in 2017 in Santa Rosa. The car fire, C-A-R-R, in Redding, then in Paradise, where this is less populated, but it runs so quickly. Tor Mason lost his home, barely got out.
The fire was in your face. I actually got burned, a little bit in my face, and it was so intense. I was scared.
Yeah, his home is gone. Remote area, about 2,000 homes are evacuated. About 100 of them have burned, very close to the Oregon border. Firefighters do now believe, though, that they will be able to save the town of Yreka, not Eureka, but Yreka, home to about 7,000 people up near the Oregon border. That was a question over the weekend. They thought they were going to lose it. One more for you. This woman in her 80s, she's at a shelter with so many others.
My house is gone, all my furniture, all my clothes, shoes, coats, boots, everything's gone. But my daughter-in-law told me that she grabbed my trunk full of jewelry before I left. And I found that out this morning, and I was very happy.
So at least she has that, the trunk full of jewelry. But weather is helping out a bit. It is not running today like it did over the weekend. But still, 0% contained, 55,000 acres. It is a monster of a wildfire. A lot of work left to do.
Yeah, so I guess what really amped this up was these winds, huh? Is that
it was
pushed
windy,
this fire along
dry,
quickly?
It's been so hot in that area, so that brings down the humidity typically, but it was really windy, and that was the aspect of it running like it did, just like what we've seen during Santa Ana winds in Southern California, that it can be hot and dry and have low humidity, and you'll have an active fire, but you add in that wind, and that's when it's going to make the runs quicker than people can get out. And again, Santa Rosa, Redding, Paradise, it was the wind, and we've seen it time and again in Southern California. You get that aspect in there, and all bets are off of evacuation routes, people getting out. This area, mountainous, homes very far apart, one road in, one road out. In the case of those trying to evacuate who got stuck, they had a gate that they couldn't get open. So a lot of obstacles as people are getting out.
Has it burned there before? Do we have a situation like we have where this brush is really there for the burning?
Not recently. Maybe at some point, but there's no burn scar there right now. I'm sure it did many, many years ago, but nothing that's stopping it right now that it's running into.
And not big populations up there, right? Houses are not that close together where you have
Had this been somewhere more populated, it would have been a Paradise or a Santa Rosa, again, running through populated areas. It is about 65, I believe, based on the math, 65 square miles burning right now, and 2,000 homes that have been evacuated. They're very far apart. It is very mountainous. You think far northern California, southern Oregon. Not a ton of people live in the area, but enough who are being impacted right now that they're having to get out. And by the way, they did say today, the sheriff and some of the firefighters out there, they know it did not begin from lightning. Most fires in California are man-made, not necessarily arson, but campfires that get away, power lines that go down, catalytic converters that spark in the brush. They don't know what started this. There is a road that they've got where they know the point of origin is. They've got it sealed off right now, but what caused it, they don't know, but it was not Mother Nature.
Not PG&E yet to there.
Could have been. We don't know about that yet in the winds. It could have been power lines down, but it was not lightning that did it.
It's a McKinney fire because what? What is it, near a place called McKinney or something?
I would assume
like that?
So. Whatever the first arriving unit is on scene on a wildfire, they name it.
Right.
So you could make it the Ken Fire if you wanted to. It could be. It's usually a landmark, a street, a valley, a known building around there. I'm guessing it's the area or a street where it began. But first in, they give it the name.
And this heat dome is finally moving on, I think, from
it's
that region.
It's beginning to, yeah. Seattle hit 90 degrees. Portland, 40-year record that they broke yesterday, 95 degrees for a week straight. 10 people known to be dead from the heat wave now, mainly the elderly, found in their homes without air conditioning. This is an area where Seattle, Portland, other areas more along the water, that they haven't had a need until last couple of years for a lot of AC, so they haven't had it. And it's for the homeless as well. This woman, Chris Branson, out helping the homeless, giving them popsicles and Gatorade and everything else.
There's no escape from the heat, right? Even in the shade when it's 90 degrees, it's still sweltering. There's no cold water readily available, no running water. There's no showers.
In the Portland area over the weekend, they had cooling centers set up. There was some anger that they were shutting them down last night, but it has cooled down today, mid-80s, and in Seattle, upper 70s. So they've gotten a little bit of relief. But Seattle hit two records over the weekend. They hit 95. That's a big deal for Seattle. And excessive heat warnings now expiring, but it's been a rough few days.
Yeah, that's like when London hit 104 a couple weeks ago. That's a huge story.
They don't have the buildings to deal with it.
Right. All right. Thank you very much, Alex. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI, reporting on what is being called the McKinney Fire. Northern California, Southern Oregon, taking out 55,000 acres. It is the biggest wildfire of the year so far in California. This is not good news, but clearly we're not where we were a couple of years ago with all those wildfires that were burning. Remember, they called them the series of complex fires, all the lightning and stuff like that. So, I mean, we're still in early August, but so far probably not as bad as a couple of years ago. But this fire has taken the lives of at least two people who were found in their burned-out car. More coming up on the John and Ken Show, including this news conference from Joe Biden, who's supposed to announce that a CIA drone strike has killed the leader of Al-Qaeda, a man that, well, we thought was killed before, but apparently resurfaced, and this time they think they got him in a CIA drone strike. John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, and, well, they're saying a CIA drone strike killed the leader of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. There you go. We're going back. It was the year 2011 when Osama bin Laden was taken out by a military operation in Afghanistan. This is al-Zawahiri, is his name. He took over about a month after bin Laden was killed in that raid, and they thought they killed him at least one time before. Now, they killed the leader of ISIS, they think, a couple of years back, but now they say, and we'll find out more from Joe Biden at around 4:30 our time, that this operation has killed the al-Qaeda leader for certain. I don't know. It's in Afghanistan. How do you really know? Taliban runs that place. And I'm kind of surprised they just sent a little drone in there and turned him into a smudge. So Joe will talk about this from the White House. He addresses the country at around 4:30. We'll carry it on KFI. Well, you know, one of the fun things to do in the world of celebrities and their dopey carping about climate change is to take a look at their private jet flights. And of course, most people know by now that celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio actually took his private jet to pick up climate awards around the planet, which is pretty outrageous. They often take their private jets to these sort of get-togethers on private islands and other fancy resorts where they hang out on yachts. But now, the marketing and analytics agency Yard has published a list of the top celebrity CO2 polluters in the world dealing with their private jet travels. And no, it is not a Kardashian that is number one on the list. It is somebody who, of course, is quite famous, but not really heard of much in these stories about climate change. Although I was reading, she does make a big deal about it. I think saying in one story I read that it's a disaster that it has to be dealt with. It's Taylor Swift, the singer. According to this list from Yard, and they get it from some transportation analytics outfit, that her private plane took 170 trips since January that emitted approximately 800 tons of carbon. That's about 1,184 times more than the average person's total emissions in an entire year. The outfit learned that Swift has amassed 22,923 minutes of airtime. The average flight is just 80 minutes. She actually had one flight that was only recorded at 36 minutes, bouncing from Missouri to Nashville, Tennessee. However, the update in the story is, well, there's some things you ought to know about that. Taylor does lend out her jet to other individuals. So she's not always the one on the private jet spewing the CO2. It's not just for her needs and wants. To attribute most or all of these trips to her is blatantly incorrect, but it's her jet. Isn't that really matters? How many flights the jet is taking and how much carbon pollution is coming from that? They're also making the case, which we saw with the Kardashian, I think it was Kylie Jenner. Same thing, same basic family. A couple of weeks ago, that sometimes nobody's on the jet. They just move it from one location to another to position it for the next trip. Does that matter either? Apparently, the other celebrity that received some backlash was Drake, the singer. He took three flights in June that were under 20 minutes each on his $185 million private jet named Air Drake. You know, if I had won that billion-dollar lottery, I probably would have gotten a private jet. I don't fly a hell of a lot, but I hate the airports. Oh, God, do I hate security. I hate being corralled onto the plane. Wouldn't we all want to do this?
Oh, God, nobody kicking the back of your seat.
Yeah, just to be able to go anywhere you want, anytime. You just get to a nice small airport. You drive over there, you get out of your car, hop in the plane, you're gone in a matter of minutes, and you're on your way. Of course, if we all did this, for those who believe in climate change and carbon pollution, it would be a pretty ugly place. The private jet of Drake's is actually named Air Drake. They reportedly resulted in around 15 tons of carbon dioxide emissions, according to CelebJets. But after multiple outlets reported on Drake's high-priced jaunts between Hamilton and Toronto, he commented on an Instagram post explaining, This is just they're moving planes to whatever airport they're being stored at for anyone who's interested in logistics. Nobody takes that flight. But does that matter? The plane's still in the air. It's still spewing the carbon. They just want to make it look like, well, I don't take that many flights and I don't take it for like all those really short trips that you're upset about. They talked to a climate campaign coordinator. Well, we need as a society to have a conversation about whether we should be allowing these private flights to be happening in the first place. It's really frustrating for some folks, you know. They're thinking to themselves, okay, well, I'm doing everything I can in my daily routine to cut down on greenhouse gas emissions, like taking public transit, oh, dear Lord, and buying local products and things like that, and then these celebrities do this. Apparently, the rest of the list behind Taylor Swift was Floyd Mayweather, was the second worst offender, then Jay-Z, the retired baseball player, Alex Rodriguez, has taken more than 100 flights so far this year. Blake Shelton, the country music superstar and voice judge, also made the list. But it says he's only spent, his jet has spent more than 8 days in the air since January. A couple of short flights between Oklahoma and Texas. Then Steven Spielberg. Finally, you get down to number seven. There's a Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. 57 flights this year. You know, these celebrities will say, well, time is money. And I'm important. The politicians say the same thing. John Kerry says that. I need to take a private jet because I got to get there quicker. I can't deal with commercial flights and schedules because I'm important and I got to be there. But you can't tell the rest of the world to abide by what you're lecturing us about and not do anything close to the same thing. Then Mark Wahlberg, Oprah, is still flying around, apparently all over the country. And then, the rapper, Travis Scott, is number 10 on the list. All right, shortly, we're expecting to hear from old Joe Biden. A CIA drone strike, they say, has taken out. The current leader of Al-Qaeda, actually he's been in that position for a number of years. We'll hear from the White House pretty soon.
At my direction.
Here's President
United
Biden.
United States successfully concluded an airstrike in Kabul, Afghanistan that killed the emir of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri. You know, Zawahiri was bin Laden's leader. He was with him all the whole time. He was his number two man, his deputy at the time the terrorists attacked 9/11. He was deeply involved in the planning of 9/11. One of the most responsible for the attacks that murdered 2,977 people on American soil. For decades, he was the mastermind behind attacks against Americans, including the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000, which killed 17 American sailors and wounded dozens more. He played a key role in the bombing of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, killing 224 and wounding over 4,500 others. He carved a trail of murder and violence against American citizens, American service members, American diplomats, and American interests. And since the United States delivered justice to bin Laden 11 years ago, Zawahiri has been a leader of Al-Qaeda, the leader. From hiding, he coordinated Al-Qaeda's branches and all around the world, including setting priorities for providing operational guidance that called for and inspired attacks against U.S. targets. He made videos, including the recent weeks, calling for his followers to attack the United States and our allies. Now, justice has been delivered, and this terrorist leader is no more. People around the world no longer need to fear the vicious and determined killer. The United States continues to demonstrate our resolve and our capacity to defend the American people against those who seek to do us harm. You know, we make it clear again tonight that no matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out. After relentlessly seeking Zawahiri for years under Presidents Bush, Obama, and Trump, our intelligence community located Zawahiri earlier this year. He had moved to downtown Kabul to reunite with members of his immediate family. After carefully considering the clear and convincing evidence of his location, I authorized a precision strike that would remove him from the battlefield once and for all. This mission was carefully planned, rigorously minimized the risk of harm to other civilians. And 1 week ago, after being advised that the conditions were optimal, I gave the final approval to go get him. And the mission was a success. None of his family members were hurt, and there were no civilian casualties. I'm sharing this news with the American people now, after confirming the mission's total success through the painstaking work of our counterterrorism community and key allies and partners. My administration has kept congressional leaders informed as well. When I ended our military mission in Afghanistan almost a year ago, I made the decision that after 20 years of war, the United States no longer needed thousands of boots on the ground in Afghanistan to protect America from terrorists who seek to do us harm. And I made a promise to the American people that we continue to conduct effective counterterrorism operations in Afghanistan and beyond. We've done just that. In February, our forces conducted a daring mission in Syria that eliminated the emir of ISIS. Last month, we took out another key ISIS leader. Now we have eliminated the emir of Al-Qaeda. He will never again allow Afghanistan to become a terrorist safe haven, because he is gone and we're going to make sure that nothing else happens. You know, it can't be a launching pad against the United States. We're going to see to it that won't happen. This operation is a clear demonstration that we will, we can, and we'll always make good on the solemn pledge. My administration will continue to vigilantly monitor and address threats from Al-Qaeda, no matter where they emanate from. As Commander-in-Chief, it is my solemn responsibility to make America safe in a dangerous world. The United States did not seek this war against terror. It came to us. We answered with the same principles and resolve that have shaped us for generation upon generation: to protect the innocent, defend liberty,
and we keep the light of freedom burning, a beacon for the rest of the entire world, because this is a great and defining truth about our nation and our people. We do not break. We never give in. We never back down. Last year on September 11th, I once more paid my respect to Ground Zero in New York City, at that quiet field in Shanksville at the Pentagon and at the Pentagon. Standing in the memorial at Ground Zero, seeing the names of those who died forever etched in bronze is a powerful reminder of the sacred promise we made as a nation. We will never forget. The memorial also bears the quotation from Virgil. No day shall erase you from the memory of time. No day shall erase you from the memory of time. So we continue to mourn every innocent life that was stolen on 9/11 and honor their memories. To the families who lost fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, friends and co-workers on that searing September day, it is my hope that this decisive action will bring one more measure of closure. No day shall erase them from the memory of time. Today and every day, I'm so grateful for the superb patriots who serve the United States intelligence community and counterterrorism communities. They never forget. And those dedicated women and men who tirelessly work every single day to keep our country safe, to prevent future tragedies. It is thanks to their extraordinary persistence and skill that this operation was a success. They've made us all safer. And to those around the world who continue to seek to harm the United States, hear me now. We will always remain vigilant, and we will act, and we will always do what is necessary to ensure the safety and security of Americans at home and around the globe. Today, we remember the lost. We commit ourselves to the safety of the living, and we pledge that we shall never waver from defending our nation and its people. Thank you all. May God protect our troops and all those who serve in harm's way. We will never give up.
There's Joe Biden. Oh, is he going to get a question here? Or is he leaving? Joe Biden from the balcony of the Blue Room of the White House. You probably noticed he sounds a little weak. It's already past 7:30 Eastern time. After it was announced last week that he had tested positive for COVID-19, he went into isolation for a number of days. He came out, and then the announcement was made just on Saturday. He tested positive again. And now today, Monday, they tested him again. He's still positive for COVID-19. They call it the rebound case of COVID. He took that medication, Paxlovid, but apparently in a number of patients, when you stop taking the medication, you can go back and test positive for COVID-19. So he's going to continue to be in isolation until he tests negative. But that's apparently the reason, and you heard him there, he just sounded a little weak. But they decided this is important enough, you had to get out there and tell the country about it. So the breaking news this afternoon is that the U.S. reports that a CIA drone strike has killed the Al-Qaeda leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri. It happened over the weekend in Afghanistan. There was some uncertainty as to who they killed. And then a couple of hours ago, it was confirmed that's who Biden's going to tell us was killed, the leader of Al-Qaeda. And a lot of people may be hearing this story this afternoon and must be thinking we're in a time warp because Al-Qaeda, what are they doing anymore? Ever since Osama bin Laden was killed more than 10 years ago, that happened in 2011, this was the man that actually took over for him. Over the years, there's tons of pictures of these two together. Zawahiri just turned 71 years old and was a doctor. He was born in Egypt, and apparently he came from a distinguished Egyptian family. His grandfather was an imam at a university in Cairo, and his great-uncle was the first secretary of the Arab League. But of course, as you heard Biden say, Zawahiri and joining up with Al-Qaeda and bin Laden was one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attack. What I didn't know, though, he was also involved in the assassination of the Egyptian president. It says he was involved in trying to overthrow the Egyptian government for years. He wanted to replace it with fundamentalist Islamic rule, and he proudly endorsed the assassination of Anwar Sadat, the Egyptian president, in 1981. He spent 3 years in prison. After the assassination, he was claiming he was tortured. After he was released, he found his way to Pakistan, where he treated wounded Mujahideen fighters who fought against the Soviet occupation by Afghanistan. And that's where he met bin Laden. And they found a common cause. He actually said, "We're working with brother bin Laden." He said this in 1998. And they signed a fatwa, or a declaration, that the judgment to kill and fight Americans and their allies, whether civilians or military, is an obligation for every Muslim. And as you heard Biden say, he was involved in an attack on the USS Cole, or at least the planning, in Yemen, October of the year 2000. It killed 17 American sailors and wounded 39 others. And he was also involved in attacks in Kenya and Tanzania on U.S. embassies that killed more than 200 people, wounded more than 5,000 others. He was often seen at bin Laden's side in pictures. After bin Laden was eliminated, Zawahiri went into hiding. There actually was a report not too long ago that he was killed, but then he popped up in a video not too long ago, which I guess they took to be authentic because they put together another strike mission. The drone strike was conducted at about 9:48 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, authorized by Biden, who's apparently had meetings with his cabinet and key advisors. There were no American personnel on the ground in Kabul, Afghanistan, at the time of the strike. This was all done remotely. In and out, clean, a smudge. So if it can be believed, that's the breaking news this afternoon, that we have taken out the current leader of Al-Qaeda, which the thinking is that now that Afghanistan is ruled by the Taliban, Al-Qaeda might be able to grow again. Maybe we ought to just send it back a few steps by taking out its current leader. And that's what we said we did. More coming up on the John and Ken Show here on KFI AM 640. We just carried Joe Biden's 5-6 minute statement concerning the CIA drone strike in Afghanistan that has killed the current leader of Al-Qaeda, who's been in that post for about 11 years since Osama bin Laden was taken out back in 2011. His name is Zawahiri. He's a doctor by training, but of course a terrorist. And we believe that we have smudged him somewhere in Kabul, Afghanistan, with a drone strike. So coming up after 5 o'clock, the L.A. County Deputy District Attorney John Lewin is coming back on the John and Ken Show to talk about this story that there are families of murder victims who are feeling tricked by L.A. County D.A. George Gascon over resentencing of the death row inmates. It starts with the story of the daughter of a construction manager who was brutally murdered 3 decades ago. Her using the word tricked, because what the DA's office is trying to do with one of his operatives is nothing but these public defenders, is pushing to commute the killer's death sentence to life without the possibility of parole. But you know, when I hear that, and I'll talk about it with John Lewin after 5 o'clock, there's the possibility of parole. That's the whole idea. Right. Again, it starts with, well, we don't want anybody executed. All right. So Newsom did that. He put a moratorium on executions. But we'll tell you what, we'll give you LWOP, life without parole. But then the next thing is, no, we don't like people in prison or jail for too long. And, you know, I've heard this from Gascon. He thinks 15 years is enough to serve for any crime, even murder. 15 years. That's it for taking somebody else's life. So we'll find out what's behind this move when we talk to John Lewin coming up after the news at 5 o'clock. And just a heads up on that, there is a possibility, and of course I'll be covering it fully, that the L.A. County Registrar is going to tell the L.A. County Board of Supervisors the results of the signature verification. There's a possibility that it comes tomorrow. We only know that because the registrar, his name is Dean Logan, sent a letter to the Board of Supervisors just giving them a heads up about what's next in the recall process, which included the possibility, he didn't say how likely, just the possibility that their signature verification work will be done and a report will be sent to the board tomorrow, their next meeting. And he only did that because they have to then set an election date. If there's going to be a recall within 30 days, they have to set an election date. Obviously, if this fails the signature verification process, there won't be a recall. But he was telling them to just be on guard for that possibility. So we'll also be looking for that tomorrow here on the John and Ken Show. The other big international story is whether or not Nancy Pelosi is going to go to Taiwan. As you know, she did leave over the weekend for a trip. She went to Singapore, but according to reports, Taiwan is expecting her to show up sometime either late tomorrow or early Wednesday. Of course, they're the other side of the world, so they're hours ahead of us. So this story will be full-blown tomorrow. And the reason this has become such kind of a fascinating thing is that China has threatened some sort of retaliation or some sort of action if the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi actually ends up in Taiwan. China, of course, considers Taiwan to be part of the country of China and has for a long time. China, now, according to most reports, and we actually have the statement from a Chinese official. His name is Zhao Lijian. He's a foreign ministry spokesman. And he told reporters, "We would like to tell the United States once again that China is standing by. The Chinese People's Liberation Army will never sit idly by. And China will take resolute responses and strong countermeasures to defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity. As for what measures, if she dares to go, then let's wait and see." Now, it's probably just a lot of bluff talk. Nancy Pelosi would be the highest ranking member of Congress to go to Taiwan in quite a few years, but other Congress members apparently have made the trip there. This just got escalated to another level just because of the way the whole international scene is these days, which includes, of course, Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So some of this may just be the Chinese way of telling the United States, don't think you're going to stand by Taiwan if we ever decide we want to take it back by force. And it's probably just a bluff, although I thought Pelosi would chicken out. I did. Thinking, oh, I was going to make a trip to Asia anyway. I just put Taiwan on the list. Maybe I'll go there to, you know, show I support them being independent of China. But apparently, that wasn't the case. It says here, before she left for Asia, there was caution that a stop in Taiwan might instigate a response that could escalate out of control. Biden, though, stopped short of urging her not to go out of deference to her status as a head of a separate equal branch of government. Yeah, I think behind the scenes they were trying to tell her, don't do this. Probably not a good idea. And then, of course, Biden had that telephone call with the president of China last week, President Xi. He explained that I don't control Pelosi. Sounds like somebody. I can't control her actions. And because I was in the Senate for so many years, I respect her right to make her own decisions. But the thinking is China does not accept the fact that Biden doesn't have the power to stop her. Because in their country, the president of China has a lot of power. But again, our statements are things along the line of the speaker has to make her own decisions about visiting Taiwan. It's up to her. Now, what happened today, China's military posted a video of a bunch of missile strikes. Also, video of troops hurriedly grabbing their weapons, jet fighters taking off from airfields to try to send the message that we're not happy about this. And if she gets to Taiwan, well, you don't know what could happen. But the thinking is she is going to arrive Tuesday night local time, which would actually be, what, tonight here or early tomorrow here? Something like that. There are many hours ahead of us. She is going from Singapore to Malaysia. And she would be the highest ranking U.S. elected official to visit Taiwan since Newt Gingrich went there in 1997. All right, when I come back, I'll be talking once again to John Lewin, L.A. County Deputy D.A., not happy like many deputy D.A.s are with his boss, George Gascon. And this is this process by which George Gascon is now working on resentencing death row inmates. And some of the family members of the murder victims are feeling fooled by the tactics used here to get them to sort of understand or go along with this. I'll talk to him next. Here on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, Deborah Mark has the news now.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Sticky notes, email alerts, a string around your finger. They're just not big enough.
So here's a big reminder from the California Lottery. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is over 175 million. Whew. Play now. Please play responsibly. Must be 18 years or older to purchase player client.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.